Right, everybody have a good week. Sort of, kind of. Okay, Tyler did. So, all right. Got one. School started. Kids are back in school. Things are happening. Football started. So, all kinds of stuff. Everybody likes Peanuts cartoon, right? Snoopy, Charlie Brown. Peppermint Patty was talking to Charlie Brown, in which she said, "Guess what, Chuck? The first day of school, and I got sent to the principal's office. It was your fault, Chuck." Charlie Brown responds, "My fault? How could it be my fault? Why do you say everything is my fault?" To which Peppermint Patty says, "You're my friend, aren't you? Aren't you, Chuck? You should have been a better influence on me." So, a lot of people try to pass the buck, try to blame other people. That happens quite a bit. But it's also the truth that we need to be a good influence on those around us. We need to be a better influence than the things of the world, the things of life around them. And we have an influence. God's put us here to be an influence. Read all the time about these influencers. It's a job title now. You can be an influencer and influence people to buy makeup and clothes and this and that. And it's a job now. But Christians are supposed to have been influencers for a long, long time now. We're supposed to be influencing those around us to be what God would have them to be. Influencing to let them know that they can have a better life here and in the future for eternity. God says a lot about being an influencer in the Bible. We're going to be in Matthew 5, 13 through 16. And it's not a passage you haven't heard probably a lot, but we're going to focus on one side of it. But Matthew 5, 13 through 16 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So salt and light are just two examples of the influences we're supposed to be that Jesus uses and Paul uses and Matthew uses. And I say about gave up, because in Sunday school, if you'd have come, you'd have got a good bit of my message. Bev's message fit perfectly in with mine today. So some of even the same readings. So talk about light a little bit. Light, obviously, we probably have more sermons on light than we do salt. So I'm going to be more into the salt part of it in a little bit. But light, just if we think of the things it does, it illuminates, It lets us see things for what they are. It shines up things we can't see. You guys with trail cams out there, it's dark, but then all of a sudden the light flashes and we get to see what's out there, whether it's a deer or I don't know what else you see, coyotes and possums and raccoons. And if you read the internet much, you see cryptoids and all kinds of critters and things, Bigfoot and everybody out there. So, but light illuminates things so that we can see what it actually is. It guides us, it guides us. It lights the road ahead for us. Airplanes, they've got to have a lighted runway strip at night. Those lights overcome the darkness, lets them see where to go to be safe, to land. Light convicts us, But old shows, get that prisoner in a dark room, shine a light in her eyes, and confess, It convicts us. It lets others see you as well. It exposes the things you do. And speaking of being exposed, nothing's hidden from God. The light exposes us for who we are. Darkness can't hide it. We can't hide it. God is light, and that light exposes us for who we are. God knows. It warns us, there's all kinds of flashing lights. There's red lights and yellow lights and tail lights and brake lights and backup lights, and all of those things are telling us something. Something's going to happen. Be wary. It warns us. It protects us. You used to have dusted on lights. A lot of people call them security lights. You know, they're to light the area to, you can see what's going on. Our neighbor put one up 3 or 4 years ago. It's more of a spotlight. It's like a beacon. It shines from his house down his driveway across the street and lights up the whole south end of our house. You walk out the front door and look that way, you're kind of going like this because it's shining at you. It's a bright light, but it protects. Light stands out. You know, you go to watch, in the darkness, you go to watch fireworks. You know, you get the oohs and the ahs, the lights, the colors and things. Stands out. You know, the stars stand out at night. The moon, the sun, they've all overcome the darkness. You know, the moon may not have the light in and of itself, but it reflects the sun, as we're supposed to do. We're supposed to reflect the sun. That's what the moon does. And it also gives life. You know, back in your science class days in school, the photosynthesis and the plants, and, you know, it needs sunlight to grow. It needs sunlight to have life, and it's good for people, too. So we have to have the sun to have light, both kinds, S-U-N and S-O-N. We have to have both. You know, our light with Christ is in us, and we should be all of these things to people. All of these things. We should guide, we should convict, we should warn, we should expose. We should offer them what gives life. If it's hidden, what good is it? It's not doing any good. It should be above all those things. Quick sound test. Everybody hear me? Okay, see, head's going this way anyway, so okay. Then there's salt. And I want to get into a little bit more of that this morning. You know, salt was valuable back in this time because obviously they didn't have the Whirlpool and the Kenmore refrigerators they could run out and get. They used salt, needed to preserve food and preserve meats and cover it with salt so the bacteria wouldn't set in and it would preserve it. It was used for jobs. It was used for pay for jobs. Roman soldiers quite often at least were paid partly in salt. And it's where we get our term. You know, talk about a person's not worthy salt. That was the slacker, not worth what he's getting paid, not worthy salt. The Roman soldier who wasn't doing what he's supposed to do, slacking off, wasn't worthy salt. That's where we get the term. And God says, you know, in this passage said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt. We're the salt of the earth. You know, think, well, I'm not salt, but you ever sweat? Well, you give off water. And saltiness, salt comes out. Our body has to have a certain amount of salt in it. The big thing's flavor, I think. One of the things is some people, you know, some people just put salt on it before they even start eating. You know, they just lather it up with salt before they even taste it. I think it's just becomes a habit. And we put salt on a lot of things, you know, because it adds flavor. It adds a taste. It adds something we want. You know, from vegetables, I can't eat green beans without salt on them. Got to have salt on green beans and things. To, you know, all your snacks come with salt, a lot of them. Your pretzels, your chips, you know, all those things have salt on them. Then you have those that put salt on sweet stuff. You know, a lot of people eat salt on their watermelon. I don't know how many of you do, but they used to put salt on their watermelons and salt on their apples. They sprinkle salt before they took a bite. They eat salt on the apples. There's corn on the cob. Who doesn't? Now, you got to put butter there, too, but butter and salt goes on corn on the cob. Same with popcorn. You know, got to have butter, got to have salt on it. That air popper stuff, that don't cut it, folks. That's... Might as well eat those peanut styrofoam things. To me, they taste about the same. So I want real popcorn. I want butter. I want salt on it. Adds flavor. It's something I want, something that I desire to have. And then even the other sweet stuff, cookies, cakes, and all that stuff. You know, how many of them don't call for at least a pinch of salt in it? You know, it adds something to it. It's got to be in there to have it. It purifies. You know, I'm on well water, kind of hard water up our way. Got a water softener. You know, got to have salt in it. It takes out that hard stuff, takes out that rusty stuff, makes it cleaner, changes the taste to be a little better, takes some of that stuff out, the bad things out of the water. Goes on the roads, gives you traction in the wintertime, doesn't it? Goes on the roads, it melts the ice, penetrates down through the ice. Gives people access to a cleaner, safer road ahead. It heals. Those sore throats and have stuff, you still gargle with salt water? Maybe not so much anymore. Used to gargle with salt water to get rid of some things. Used to be when you would, did a lot of stuff, sweat a lot, and I don't know if they even haven't heard them for a long time. You used to have a salt tablet that you took to replenish the salt in your system. Salt can sting. It can sting. You're sweating and it gets in your eyes. It kind of stings your eyes. Or you've had salt or something and you have a cut and you touch it. It kind of burns a little, kind of stings a little. But it gets your attention. And salt also, what's it do? It makes you thirsty. I don't frequent bars and things, taverns and stuff, but they do, used to, at least, I don't know if they do anymore, they put out stuff to eat. What were those things? They were salty pretzels, salty peanuts. That wasn't just for your enjoyment, okay? That was to make you thirsty. That you would get more drinks, that you would drink more. So there's a thought behind it. Even bottles of water you get nowadays, everybody drinks bottled water. If you read the contents, read the contents of different ones. Some have a lot more salt content than other bottled water does. Why is that? There's method behind the madness. They want you to drink more water. And the more of the salty one you drink, the more you're going to want. So it's even on bottled waters, saltiness makes a difference. And our testimony, is our saltiness, or the way we act, the way we are around people, the truth that we tell people, that's being salty. Our testimony should make people thirst for what we have. It should make people thirst and want more of it. That's the saltiness we're supposed to be. We're supposed to help in those healing. We're supposed to help in all of that. Luke 14:34-35 says, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. So salt sometimes, even back then, would become contaminated. It wasn't much in the purified form that it is today. And when it did, it became contaminated. It wasn't good for anything, and they would just throw it out. And about the best they could hope would just throw it out on the pathways, maybe at the house, and it might kill a few weeds in the walkway. But in that way, he's showing you it was trampled underfoot. It was just trampled underfoot. The world did it, would trample the salt. Again, he says, remember, we are the salt of the earth. You always talk about good people. Sometimes used to be an older saying, boy, that guy, he's the salt of the earth. He's a really good guy. Well, we are. Believers are the salt of the earth. Excuse me. But if we don't hold our flavor, if we don't hold those things, our preserving ability or our purifying ability and all the rest of those things that salt does, then what good are we? If we lose those things, what are we? Salt, if it doesn't have that flavor and that taste, it's not really good for anything. It's just there. If the church loses those things, then how are we of a benefit to God? If we're not doing something, if we're not active. If you do have a church and it's just a playground or an entertainment facility and makes none of those salty improvements to people and those around us, then what good is it? If it isn't salty, it'll just be trampled underfoot by the world. It won't make a difference. You know, we can become contaminated and lose our flavor and be thrown out because we haven't been effective. We aren't effective. So we need to try to do it God's way. Be obedient to God's call. Be obedient to God's service. Don't be contaminated by the things around us, by the worldly things around us. We can become unsavory. No added taste, because we become tolerant to the things around us that we should not tolerate. We lose our power and our witness when we tolerate things, when we compromise things, when we let things in. You know, when people are facing hard times, we need to open a way for them. We need to make them thirsty for what God offers. God says we're salt. You know, we're not paprika or sage. We're not sugar. Can't always sugarcoat things. Salt hurts sometimes. Salt stings. But the truth needs to be told, even though it does sting a little bit. It's what people need to hear. We don't need to rub it in, but when it hits the spot, it might hurt a little. But we need to tell them the truth. We need to add that flavor to their life. We need to offer a life that gives them flavor, that gives them direction, that gives them safety, that gives them protection, that gives them something. And I think one of the big things Christians need to be today, we need to be and offer the preservative to the world. If you hadn't noticed, our world's spoiling. It's literally rotting. Because there isn't enough salt out to cover it. It isn't going around. It's not going out. You know, we haven't spoken the truth to people who can't hear it. We haven't shown the truth to people who can't see it. There's either indifference, we don't care, no conviction to do it, not concerned about it, or maybe afraid of consequences if we do. If that's the case, God, how many times this says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. A little bit of a soapbox now section. Part of this begins with the election. You can be salty. You know, one study was done, and all the Christians in the United States, it was determined only about one-third of them vote consistently. One-third of all Christians, I'm sorry, do not vote consistently. That's about 25 million people. Wow. 25 million people that don't vote all the time. That's enough to be salty. That's enough to make a difference. You know, but we just sit by and let things go on. You know, you're talking about the conventions downstairs. I can't even watch them. I couldn't even watch them, to be honest, to see what our government's become. Nothing but lies. Nothing but empty words that sound great, but don't have any substance to them. Everything's going to be fixed. How many times have you heard that? We're going to fix it now. Well, every 4 years, somebody's going to fix it. Every 4 years, somebody's going to fix it. You know, and you can't go by party, necessarily. The ones that have been in charge for 12 out of the last 16 years are again saying, now we're going to fix it. You know, they've had 12 out of 16 years to fix it. You know, why'd you break it in the first place? You know, power and greed. That's across the board. Power and greed. Well, how are we going to fix it? I don't know. They don't know. They literally don't know. They say, you know, I've literally heard people say that this election they've literally said people don't care about policy. Just about vision and character. Well, those two things are fine, but if we're going to vote strictly on character, we're in a world of hurt. And again, both sides. I'm not picking one side. And if we have vision, but we don't have policy to accomplish it, what does it mean? Nothing. Nothing. We can say all the things we want to, but if we don't have a plan, we don't have a policy to do it, it's not going to happen. Like I've told you before, they may have not come out and said it, but if they say, you know, when a person comes up to you, say, "No, just trust me here," and then they start, be wary. Be wary of what they're saying. You know, character is one of the basis for voting for somebody. That's definitely one of the things. But policy and platforms, you need to study those things. You need to study those things. You know, what you need to find out what's being said is true and what isn't. And you have to dig for it. You have to dig a little bit for it. You have to go to multiple sources. You have to go to multiple things, but you can find it and really find out what's true and what's not. You know, Paul and him continually says, you know, to test me. You know, look at the scripture. Test what I'm saying. See if it's true. You should test me. You know, if I'm not lining up with scripture, you should call me out on it. Well, you need to test what the candidates say as well. You can see if it's the truth. You know, and honestly, voting comes down to who will be in conjunction with God. With God's ways, God's values. There's your vote. Unfortunately, many voters, and again, I've heard them say on themselves, they admit they simply vote for who's going to give them the most. What do I get? Some vote just because it's male or female. They just vote for the gender. Doesn't matter who they are, what they stand for. It's, well, I vote for because it's a woman, or I'm voting because it's a male. And then it gets, nowadays, it's what skin color they are. You know, because black or white or whatever you want to call it. That's why I vote for. You know, has nothing to do with fixing any of the problems. You know, a lot of them nowadays is, again, the keys to add more government, make it stronger, provide more services and benefits, giving people more money. And how you do that? You print more money. You make more to hand out. You print more. You know what that does? If you got a bunch of something, how valuable is it? Not very much. You can get it pretty cheap. Get it on sale. You know, we have overstock sales. You can get it pretty cheap. Same thing with money. You just print more and put more out there, the value's less. Inflation gets bigger because your dollar is worth less money. That's what printing money does. And then that adds to the debt that everybody's been adding to for decades. Decades. Especially the last 20 years. You see it exponentially increase. You know, if you hear the words, there should be certain trigger words that everybody should recognize. If you hear the word free, I sound like the country people. If you hear the word free, if you hear the word forgiven by a politician, and I've actually heard them say, it won't cost you anything because we're paying for it. You know, if those things are from the government and you believe it, we are all praying for you. We really are. We're praying for you. You know, nothing in life is free. Never has been, never will be. And if the government's paying for it, that's us. That's you and I. That's not somebody else. It's not forgiven. It's transferred to somebody else. It's not free. It's transferred to somebody else. Somebody's paying for whatever it is. It's not free. It's not forgiven. And we are paying for it. If that's the government, that's again, you are paying for it. You know, based on, I think we're up to around $34 trillion deficit. And it, like I say, increasing every year and growing. Yeah, you got to be here. Who do you want making the monetary decisions for you? Do you want the government to make a lot of decisions for you? You know, they don't care much about budgets. It's just there. You don't have to abide by it. It's just something we got to do. Put a budget out there. Because they know they're printing money and passing it out makes people happy. Makes a lot of people happy to receive government money. Don't worry about the damage it causes. Don't worry about it. Greed and power. Greed and power. Freedom wasn't free either. You know, your right to vote was fought for. You know, the Constitution was fought for. Men gave their life so you could vote the way you see fit. And everybody has that right. You know, many people died for that right and that privilege. But salvation wasn't free either. It's a free gift by the one that offers it. It is a free gift, but it was earned. Christ died for it, or we wouldn't have it. There was a sacrifice by somebody. Somebody paid the price for that. You know, and a lot of other people have given their lives for the gospel as well, to try and save their fellow man from an eternity in hell, away from God, away from life. People have given their lives. They were pretty salty. They told the truth and it cost them with their life as well. You know, our country has declined to where, you know, just morally and things, it's just the decline has been so big that, you know, we've got LGBTQ++ in power in many ways. You know, we're in a state where living together is pretty common instead of marriage anymore. You know, abortion on demand, pretty much. I understand they did away with Roe Wade, but they didn't get away with abortion. States can make up their own minds, and I saw yesterday, if you don't like it in a state where you live, doesn't let you can get a mail order doctor from the next state over to send you all the stuff you need. So it didn't get rid of anything. It might have made it a little harder, but it didn't get rid of abortion. You know, divorce on demand, almost. It happens, you know. We're into gender changes and transgender and... now we, you know, in some places want a government that wants leaders in there that, you know, put feminine hygiene products in the boys' restrooms in schools. And people who set up hotlines, you know, back in COVID days where there was a hotline where if your neighbor was outside in his yard, didn't wear a mask, there was a hotline to call to have police come and get him. Or a 75-year-old woman praying in front of an abortion clinic, arrested and sentenced to jail. You know, we allow schools to rewrite history anymore. And we make the Constitution out to be what we want it to be. Some say our Constitution needs changed. That's starting to coming around now. It's antiquated. It's not with the times. You know, same thing's being said about the Bible. It doesn't take into account nowadays, you know. But the Bible doesn't change because God doesn't change. You know, this is all science fiction stuff. Used to be you read science fiction books and, well, that'll never happen. It is. in our country, changes are going to be, the next thing, changes are going to be, try to be made at least, whether they be successful or not, I don't know, but the Supreme Court will try to change, or be made to change, into the likeness of what the world wants it to be. You know, our electoral college that our republic's based on, I don't believe it'll be around much longer. I think it will be gone. I think it will be dissolved. That's what a republic's about, where everybody's vote counts. That's what the electoral college does. But I truly believe it won't be around much longer. You know, now that it's been called weaponizing the government and other entities to go after people, and I truly believe that's happening. You know, where will it lead? You know, when that 75-year-old woman praying in front of the abortion clinic, and those that you can protest about it, but if you stand in that way, you're a domestic terrorist nowadays. You know, terrorist used to be a bad word. Terrorist used to be the evil. But now for prayer, you can be a domestic terrorist in our country. Where will it lead? I think we're surely headed to the one world order that will be in the end time. You know, we're in there for a government where growth and prosperity, which is in our Constitution, by the way, read the Constitution a little bit again, the preamble and some of the beginning, just to remind yourself of what we're supposed to be. That's being bypassed for the equal distribution. That's socialism, you know, where we take it from you and give it to them. You know, God wants us to do that anyways. You know, as believers, we're supposed to reach out and help other people. But it's not under government orders to do so. And see, now we're going to tell businesses how much you're going to sell your products for. You know, their hands are in a lot of things. A lot of things. How you can do business, where you can do business. Now it's going to be, we're going to control what you can sell your stuff for. They think they can. You know, that's not the free enterprise supply and demand, you know, growth that we were built on. And I think that it will lead to a one world order. It's going to go, if it goes through, we'll all be a one world order. And you know how that will be in the end, or the Antichrist. You have to have a mark to even buy food. That's where we're headed. You know, those that put together the Constitution, how can you not think they were not under the influence of God? You know, how they could have set up conditions to protect people from what's happening right now. They couldn't have done it if God wasn't with them. You know, First Amendment, Second Amendment, all of them are so important. They're to protect the citizens against the government. You know, they've been through it. They knew how it worked. Now we're going through it. And there were means set up back then to keep the government out of the church. That doesn't mean the church has to stay out of the government. The church should be an influence with the government. Should have godly people in there. You know, we live in a time where the truth is whatever you believe at the time. Christians need to love things God loves. Hold the values that God values. We need to battle and stand strong for God's word. We need to stand for the truth. Voting is a way to do that. We have a responsibility, an obligation. God's put us here to be the salt. We have to, that's one way we can do that. Going to have an invitation in just a minute. But I want to go to Colossians 4, 2 through 6, before we have the invitation. It says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, Christians should care. Christians should want to make a difference. They should be concerned for the things of God. Christians are the salt that's here to keep the world from rotting. We haven't done enough. Salt's only good when it gives itself up, when it dissolves into what you've put it in. We need to give ourselves to the work of God. We need to give ourselves to the needs of those around us. We need to give ourselves to our country. We need to shake things up. You know, sometimes that salt shaker gets kind of plugged up a little bit. You know, maybe you're at the point where you're kind of clumped up inside there. Salt has a little trouble getting out. You know, we've all been there. We've all been there. But you need to pray to God for the power of His Spirit to lead you through it, to give you His strength. And then in the tough times, I want you to be iodized. I want you to be like Mortons. All right? Be like Mortons. Is that when times are tough, everything's struggling, everyone's struggling around you. You know, the storms of life are hitting pretty hard. And be like Mortons. You know, when it rains, it pours. You're still pouring out the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit in your life. You're still giving and sharing Jesus and eternal life to other people. You know, Christians can change the world through the power of the Holy Spirit and prayer. Christians here are to be different. And to make a difference. It's our job. It's what we're called to do. Are you fulfilling your role in your life that God's given you? Because we all have something God has for us to do. Yours may be different from the mine, but we all have something He's calling us to do. Are we making the most of every opportunity He gives us? Are we the godly influence on others? Or are we the ones under the influence of others? Or evil to do nothing? I don't know where this country is going. I have a feeling. I don't know how close we are to the end times. I think close. I think things are lining up to that effect, but we have the power to change it. We have the power to delay it. God's going to wait as long as needed for those to come to Him that He's calling. He's always calling. We should always be calling those around us. But we have to be salt and light. We have to do something. We have to be active. Let's pray.